Okay, starting Daf Ayin Gimel. Elohein Shemitzilin Otam Benafsham. Okay, these are people that you're allowed to, we're going to have trouble translating this because we're going to see there's a few different interpretations. What does it mean? Mitzilin Otam Benafsham. We'll hold off for just 1 minute. We'll read the Mishnah and then we'll go back. First, we'll see who are these people that we're allowed to. Harodev Achar Chavero Lahargo. Okay, classic din of Rodev. Somebody's chasing their friend to kill them. Ve'achar hazachar, this means this continuation of rodef. Someone's chasing someone to sodomize him. Ve'achar na'ara murasa, and na'ara murasa, he's chasing her to rape her. Aval, right, an engaged woman. Aval harodef achar behema, v'hamachalelet hashabat, v'obed avodah kochavim, e'mitzilinot ha'benafsham. But there's three exceptions they're going to mention, which is someone's chasing an animal to have sexual relations with the animal. Mechalel et haShabbat, someone's about to be Mechalel Shabbat. Seems like a strange, right? If we think about Deem Rodef, usually what do we think about? We're saving the victim. Who's the victim in Chilul Shabbat? So it's even strange that they're mentioning it. And likewise with the Oved Avodah Kochavim. Right? Someone who's about to worship Avodah Zarah, there's no other person there. And in those cases, Eimitzilin Otam Benafsham. So one can simply say that we don't kill the rodef or try to protect the victim in the case of the final three cases, because those cases, there is no victim, right? The animal, we don't treat an animal as a human being, so therefore we don't, I'm going to say, right, either we're allowed to kill the rodef or we're going to see later that the din is you're really supposed to attack him, but chameh varat, right, and try to, what's the word, to... No, to stop him to... neutralize him. Okay? Let's go back to this term, Elohein Shemitzilin Otam Benafshan. Who's the Otan? Who's the Nafshan? Okay? Mitzilin Otam, we save them with their lives. It sounds like it's referring to the same person, right? The Mitzilin Otan Benafshan. So that's how Rashi explains. So what does it mean? What are we saving them from? It's not the victim. We're saving the person from doing an avera. We're preventing them from doing an avera. Okay? So this is a very strange concept. Okay? And that's why if we go with Rashi's interpretation, what we're saying is these averot are so severe, and maybe you'd have to add, and this is why, you know, then you can understand why Shabbat would be included, and Avodat Kochavim would be included, because they're up there in terms of very severe Averot. So therefore, we don't want this person to be over on such a severe Averah, so we're going to stop him. Okay? And therefore, we stop him by killing him, by preventing him to doing this Averah. It always comes to mind the movie Heaven Can Wait, if you remember that movie, right, where he's about to get killed in an accident, and they take him up to heaven. And he says, what do you mean? I didn't actually kill the person. I didn't actually get into an accident. This is different, right? But he's saying, you didn't let me play out. Who knows what would have happened? And he gets up to heaven and starts complaining. I want to go back to earth because I never really was supposed to die. How do you know I wouldn't have swerved? I wouldn't have protected myself. And that's his claim. So here also, it's a little bit like that, where the person actually hasn't done anything, but yet we want to prevent him from doing the avera. It's a little hard to understand. Yeah.
Somehow I get the feeling, also the last few days, that underlying all this, we're talking about psychiatric illnesses. None of the mifarshim or the mishum discuss that.
Why do you think we're talking about psychiatric illnesses?
When you read the mission, they said benafshan, and I automatically jumped. I said, "Oh, they're finally talking about what I think they're struggling with, and they don't know how to define. You know, they're trying to, you know, aberrant to normal behavior, things that are extreme."
But then they're saying, so we should kill people because they...
Well, as long as they have been responsible, mm-hmm. then they are going to kill them. But as soon as you identify, well, maybe they didn't have the same tools we have today. Of identifying illnesses.
So you're saying someone who had a psychiatric illness, they were a danger to society, you're saying? Where were you thinking of it in terms of trying to think?
Yeah.
Interesting. I didn't see anybody relate to it. So it's a good question.
Okay, but as long as they hold them responsible, then they don't consider them sick.
Right. I don't know. I don't know how they treat it actually according to this. Right. It's a good question. The other interpretation is the more pshat interpretation, right? Rashi here doesn't really accept the pshat interpretation, which is that we're protecting the victims here, right? Mitzilin Otan would be the victims, binafshan of the perpetrator. And that there, we're saying we're basically protecting the victim, and therefore, we're only going to be in a case where there is a victim as opposed to the other case where there isn't a victim. Again, it's a little difficult, both grammatically. Otam benafshan sounds like the same person. And it's difficult in terms of why would you even need to mention who you're excluding, the Shabbat, the Avi Kohavim. It's obvious that they wouldn't even be included in the Salachat Din Rodev. The Ran actually comes up with an in-between interpretation. He said some of the times when it means the Aviran, some of the times it means the, right, depending on the context. Because you'll see, like later they'll use the lashon nitan lahatzila b'nafsho about the Nara Marasa, which makes it very clear nitan lahatzila is referring to the Nara Marasa and not to the victim, not to the perpetrator from his avera. So that's why the Ran comes up with sort of an in between. Anyway, it's a question what exactly it's referring to here. Before we move on, I want to mention something very interesting, which is a debate about. The order of the Mishnayot goes like this. We started with the Ben Sorer Moreh Nidon Al Shem Sefo. Then we said the Baba Mafteret is also Nidon Al Shem Sefo. From there we go into Din Rodef. Now, if you say that the Baba Mafteret is Din Rodef, okay, then you have to wonder why do we need Psukim to talk about Rodef, which we're going to see in a minute, and Psukim to talk about a Baba Mafteret. We should be able to learn one from the other. And there's a huge debate about whether Din of a Baba Mafteret is Midin Rodef or is for something different. Okay, and the answer is that it's a little bit like it. However, there isn't a real answer. Some of them view it as the same. In fact, the Rif and the Shulchan Aruch don't even bring up Hababa Machteret in their halachot, which people say, what does that mean? Do they not think it's relevant nowadays? Right. So one option is to say, yeah, it's not relevant nowadays. And the question would be why? What would be the answer? Because we view Din Rodef, like we Din Hababa Machteret, as the person is functioning like a court, and we don't have courts anymore that can kill people. So therefore, you can't kill Hababa Machteret. Because if you're functioning as a court, and we don't go by capital punishment anymore, then there is no din. So some people say that's why they ignore it. The Rama, though, in his notes on the Shulchan Aruch, by Din Rodev, says the Hababa Machteret is also Dino Mishum Rodev. And he brings it back in, so to speak. And he says, well, they don't mention it because it's obvious. It's just part of Rodev. But I'm going to talk about a few differences that people bring up. Number one, Tosfot says, Hababa Machteret, okay, well, let's do the other way. Rodef, which we didn't get to yet, but we're going to see, it's a chovah to kill the Rodef. You see a Rodef and you don't kill him, well, you know, you missed out. Like, you actually have a responsibility to kill the victim. To kill the perpetrator, to protect the victim. Whereas Hababa Machteret, it's only reshut. Right? Nobody says you have to kill a robber who comes to your house. It's reshut. Okay, that's one difference Tosfot brings up. Another issue is that, but there's another difference, which is we're going to learn that Din Rodef, which we've learned in the past, you're supposed to try to neutralize him and not actually kill him. If you can shoot him in the leg, that you have a chovah to do that. And if you don't do that, if you don't even try and you just kill him, you're responsible, okay? Like the classic case that happened here a few months ago. So that halacha, if you say that Hababa Machteret is Midin Rodef, then you'd say the same thing would be true about Hababa Machteret. But Rabbi Yonatan Milunil says no. And some people even read into the Rambam, because the Rambam doesn't even bring up that halacha when it comes to Hababa Machteret. And there's a debate, does he just leave it out, or does he really mean that it's not relevant? And Rabbi Yonatan Milunil says it explicitly, that because it's not Midin Rodef, therefore, you're allowed to kill him straight away. Which, in a sense, raises a lot of questions, because it's not even clear that he's coming to kill you, and yet you're allowed to kill him? You don't even need to neutralize him? So, there's a few answers given. One is that maybe it's viewed as both saving the person, the victim, right? You're doing self-defense, but it's also a form of punishment. And therefore, we can punish the person. Now, it's a little difficult. How do we punish him if we're not sure he's actually going to kill you? I was thinking that maybe there's a difference also between the Rodef is chasing someone to kill him. Okay, let's say someone's got a gun, he's about to shoot. But he hasn't actually done anything yet. Whereas the Baba Machteret has already broken into your house. So he's already done an act that makes him liable for something. Now, it's true, generally, we don't kill ganavim. But in this case, since he's a ganav, who's suspect, he's going to kill you. Therefore, maybe you're allowed to kill him. Whereas a rodef, who hasn't actually done anything yet, maybe then you only have to neutralize them. So that's a possibility of a difference. The other reason that people give is, according to the Pesukim about Ababa Machter, what do we say? Ein lo damim. What does it mean, ein lo damim? It means he doesn't have blood flowing through his body, which means, in other words, he's a dead man. Okay? Which means that if he's a dead man already, then we don't have to try to neutralize him. We're allowed to kill him because he's not even considered a human being right now. Okay? That there's this idea that the Torah views him as if he's already kind of killed himself, so to speak, or put himself in a situation where he could be killed. Which is strange, because if he walks out of there, he's totally alive. But at that moment, he's like a dead man. He doesn't have damim, which means that you're allowed to kill him, and you don't have to try to neutralize him. So
maybe it's something about the day and night distinction, because you're only allowed to kill him if it's at night. Right, so maybe at night you don't have your bearings. You don't know if you're just disabling him, you're killing him.
So maybe at night, right? It's not even there. Okay, so what Donna's saying is even more interesting, which is that since the halacha is only applicable at night, according to that way of thinking, so if it's only applicable at night, no one has lights on at night in their house. So basically, you're allowed to shoot him any way you want. You know, kill him, because there's no way to even, it's not even an option. But yet, in theory, if it were an option, what you're saying, Don, is if you could figure out how to neutralize him, you'd be responsible to, but the assumption is that you wouldn't. So that's another way of reading it. It's a good interpretation. So there's a lot of questions asked about this, okay? The questions, as usual, are probably a little better than the answers, but it leads us to thinking about, what is this halacha? Is it Dimrodev? Is it something different?
Is the Mishnah only talking about the chumah of a third party? I guess, is it only that I'm observing this, or is it also if somebody's running after me to kill me, then I have to shoot them in the leg rather than kill them?
Is there a difference between the victim himself in terms of this halacha, right? Generally, Rodef, when we talk about Rodef, and that's another difference between Ababa Machteret, generally, Ababa Machteret is going to be the one who's the victim, is going to be the one who's allowed to kill himself in self-defense. When we talk about Rodef, generally, what we mean here is the third party, even though we said Habab Machter, also a third party can be involved, and Dim Rodev, also the victim can be, but generally we talk about Rodev, we are really referring to a third person, because the victim is a victim and they're not in any position to protect themselves. And here it's a third party who's responsible to come. So the question is, Yafeh, so one might say, maybe that's the distinction between Habab and Machter, that Habab and Machter, even though we do say it applies to other people, the real deen is the victim himself, and maybe the victim himself, because he's so harried and can't really focus on anything, doesn't need to worry about neutralizing Yafeh.
The third party in Rodek is asked to neutralize because he's not actually, he's a third party. He's
right.
41
that's removed. Right, that's what Elise is saying. Okay. Right. Yeah. Okay. So now let's move on in the Mishnah, and we're going to see what's the source for Din Rodef. Tanu Rabbanan. So the Gemara quotes a Braita. Minayin leRodef achar chaveiro lehorgo shenitan latzilo benafsho. How do we know that you're allowed to kill him? By the way, here it seems to say you're allowed. It doesn't really seem to say you're commanded to, which Tosafot says you're commanded to. I think it comes up after the Lashon of you're commanded to, but okay. So how do you know that you're allowed to kill him? Talmud Lamar, Lo Ta'amod Al Dam Re'echa. Here you would see, by the way, from the source of Lo Ta'amod Al Dam Re'echa, that it's a chovah, because Lo Ta'amod is don't stand by while your friend's about to get killed. V'ha lahachi hudata. Really, the pasuk Lo Ta'amod Al Dam Re'echa is coming to teach Dimrodef? Hai mebaile, don't we need it for a different halacha? L'chiditanya, minayin l'ro'ed chavero shu tovea banahar. O chaya gorarto, o listim ba'in alav, shu chayav latzilo. Tamud lamar, lo tamod al dam re'echa. We learn lo tamod al dam re'echa is if you see someone drowning, or you see an animal attacking him, or you see robbers coming to mug him, how do you know that you have to save him? It says, lo tamod al dam re'echa, you have to do whatever it takes to save him. That's not exactly dim rodef. So the Gemara says, in achinami, you're right. That pasuk is not where we learn dim rodef from. So where do we actually learn it from? We learn it from a kavachomer from a nara murasa. Ma nara murasa shelo ba ela lepogama. What's the worst thing that a person does to a woman who he rapes when he rapes a nara murasa? Okay, this is different from a married woman. Because what's the problem? The problem is that now when she goes to get married, which is always a concern about women getting married in the Gemara, when she goes to get married, men are going to look at her differently because she was raped. As opposed to a married woman who's raped, whose husband already knows her and has already married her and he'll take her back, so to speak. You know, generally, it won't create a problem. It could be, but won't create as much of a problem. We won't talk about Kohanim, right, that have an issue if his wife gets raped. But anyway, we're going to say here that a Naram or Asa, it's a huge pigam for her. It's a huge, how do you translate pigam? Embarrassment, blemish. It's a big blemish to her that now she was raped. And she's no longer a betula. She's no longer a virgin. So, ma Naram or Asa shalo ba'ela lipo gamam, ratoha nitan latzila b'nafsho. And there the Torah said you're allowed to kill the perpetrator or neutralize him. Now, we don't know yet where the Torah says this. Okay, we're going to get there. But right now, they're assuming we know. Okay, again, the Gemara will say, where do we know that from? But since the Naram or Asa, which is just lipogma, just to blemish her, and yet the Torah says, you can save her by killing the Rodef. So Rodef, achar chavero lahargo, alacha kama bekama. Well, the more so if someone's going to kill somebody. Now, first of all, there's a strange kal v'chomer. Why? If you look at Naram or Asa, what's the punishment you get for it? Skila. And you look at murder, what's the punishment for murder? Saif. Skila is more chamor than Saif in anybody's book. So now, how could you say then that Naram or Asa is less severe than Retzach, than murder? So the answer given is we're not looking from the perspective of the punishment and what the person did and how bad it was what they did. We're looking at the victim. What's the effect on the victim? And clearly the effect of murder on a victim is worse than rape. Although some might contest that and say that the blemish from rape might be more severe than even getting killed. But okay, let's assume that murder in terms of its effect on the person is obviously worse. And therefore, that's where the kal v'chomer fits in. So now, before they explain to us, where do we know from Naram or Asa? Okay, so we've rejected Lo Tamon Al Dam Re'echa. It's not from there. It's from a kal v'chomer from Naram or Asa. Okay, which only explains, right, Retzach, but what about Naram or Asa? We'll get there in a minute. So now the Gemara says, wait a minute, v'chi onshim min adin, but we're not allowed, we generally learn that you can't learn a halacha from a kal v'chomer, because a kal v'chomer is logical. And everyone can make all sorts of logical things, but we can't necessarily give someone a punishment based on a logical explanation. So therefore, they say, Debei Rebbe Tana Hekeshahu. It's not from a kal v'chomer from Naram or Asa, it's from a Hekesh. It's from two things that are compared to the Pasuk. What does it say in the Pasuk by Naram or Asa? Okay, you have to read the beginning of the Pasuk. V'lana'ara lo ta'ase davar. Okay, in the case where she's it's basadeh and she could have screamed and therefore, you know, and no one saved her. La nara lo ta'aseh davar. In that case, if she wasn't complicit, right, it was really rape, then nothing happens to her. Ein la nara chet mavet, which is a bit redundant, we're going to darshan it later. She doesn't get chet mavet. Ki ka'asher yakum ish arayeu v'tzacho nefesh kein hadavar hazeh. Because this is exactly like someone coming, this is, I remember learning in high school, rape is a crime of violence, right? Don't think it's a crime of sex, it's a crime of violence. This is basically what it's saying, right? It's saying it's a crime of violence, just like somebody comes up and murders someone, and the murder person, the one who gets murdered is just a victim. Likewise, this woman is a victim. So now the Gemara is going to say, wait a minute. What exactly is this teaching you? What is the Rotzeach connection coming to teach you that you didn't really know? In other words, why did it need to tell you that in the Pasuk? Because it's just, she's a victim just like in a Rotzeach case. You really could have understood the context without that. So therefore, what does the Gemara say? Hare ze bala lamed v'nimtza lamed. This comes to, right, it comes to say we're going to learn from Rotzeach to Naram or Asa, but since we don't really need the, it's like a parable here. They're comparing it. We don't really need this comparison. There's no need for it in the Pasuk. So therefore, what are we going to say? The comparison works the opposite way. We're going to say that what's true for Naram or Asa, which means Nitan Latzila B'Nafsho, is also going to be true for a Rotzeach. So mekish rotzech naram or asam man naram or asan nitan latzilo benafsho af rotzech nitan latzilo benafsho. Okay, so just like we can save her benafsho shel rodef, right? Here's the case where they say nitan latzila, and it seems very clear they're referring to the woman and not to the rapist. Af rotzech nitan latzilo benafsho. Now we get to our question. V'naram or asa gufa minalan. Where do we actually learn about her that you're allowed to save her? Kiditana debe Rabbi Yishmael. Okay, the Tana in the house of Rabbi Yishmael taught. Tana debe Rabbi Yishmael. Ve'ein moshiala. What does it say? She calls out in the city and there's no one in the fields. And since there's no one there, right, there's no one to save her. What does that imply? Hayesh la moshiah b'chol devar she'chol la hoshiah. Okay, if there was someone to save her, then he'd be allowed to save her in any way he could have. Okay, so it implies there could have been a Moshiach, which means that one should save her. Okay, Gufa. Now we're going to go back to the first halacha we got to, Derech Agav, which is Lo Tamod Al Dam Re'echa, comes to include all these other cases. So, Gufa. Minayin l'ro'et chavero shu tovea b'nahar o chayago roto o listim ba'in alav shu chayav latzilo. And how do we know if someone's about to drown or be attacked by an animal or attacked by human beings that we should save him? Talmud lamar lo tamod al dam re'echa. So now the Gemara questions again. V'ha me'acha nafka? We learn it from there. Me'hatam nafka? Don't we learn it from a different pasuk? Avedat gufo minalan. Where do we know that if someone's goof is going to be, you know, killed somehow, right? Then minayin that we have to save him. Talmud lamar v'hashevotalo. Okay, this is a pasuk by Hashavat Avedah. It already said Hashav Tishivim La'achicha. So the words Vashevotolo are unnecessary, and therefore, what do they say? Vashevotolo includes not just returning a lost item, but also somebody's body. Okay, returning their body, meaning they're drowning, you have to return them their body. Okay, you have a chiyuv to save them. So why are we saying that we learn it from Lo Tamor Al Dam Re'echa? We should learn it from Vashevotolo. So now they say, "Ime hatam hava amina hani mile binafshe, aval mitrach umegar agure ema lo." Vashevota lo, we would have thought, is a responsibility for me to do myself. But if I can't do it myself, what do we know about Hashavat Avedah? I don't have to go hire people to go return. I don't have to spend money to go return a lost item. I don't have to, let's say, put an ad in the newspaper to go return someone's lost item. But so therefore, if I learned it from Hashavat Avedah, I would assume that my responsibility is to do whatever I could do with my own body. But if I have to start hiring other people or spending money to do it, then I don't need to. So let's say I don't know how to swim. Do I have to go find someone, right, and hire him and say, listen, there's a guy drowning here. I need to hire you to go save him. So therefore, aval mitrach umegar agure emalo, and therefore kamashman. And I would have thought that I don't need to be toreach. I don't need to burden myself and hire people to save the person. So therefore comes Lo Tamor Al Dam Re'echa, which teaches I also have a financial responsibility. Now, this becomes a debate. Let's say I save you. I spend money to save you. I hire a lifeguard, let's say, or someone who could swim, and I hire them to save you. And then, am I allowed to demand the money back from you? So according to the halacha, notice the words, it says, lemitrach. I have to be the one to spend my time doing this. However, you are supposed to pay me back. But if you don't have the money, then it has to come from my expenses. And if I know, Meirosh, that you don't have any money and you're not going to be able to afford whatever it is I'm doing to save you, then I still have to do it. In other words, so it's like an in-between where I have financial responsibility to put up the money. However, if you have the money to return to me, then you need to return it to me. But if not, then it's my responsibility. Okay, that's how far this halacha goes, right? A lot of halachot of helping others doesn't necessarily mean you have to incur financial loss. This one does, which is, you know, reasonably understandable.
Makes me think about medicine. Yeah. People who can't afford it and not afford it.
Right, your
family. Organ donors.
Right. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan. Echad ha-rodef achar chaveiro lehargo. Here's a different version of our Mishnah. Okay? Ba'achar ha-zachar ve'achar na'ara mu'asa. Now here it adds. Ba'achar chayve mito beitin ba'achar chayve kritu. Okay, the assumption is we're talking about arayot that are, if someone's chasing not just na'ara mu'asa, but his sister or some relative that the Easter arayot is going to be mito beitin or chayve kritu, then mitzilin otam benafsho. Also, we kill them. But if it's a chayve lavim, like almana le kohen gadol or grusha v'chalutza le kohen idyot, ein mitzilin otam benafsho. Okay, the assumption is that the pgam of a chayve lavim is not as strong as the pgam for chayve kritut. Okay? So if people knew that you slept with your father, that would be a huge embarrassment. But if people knew that you were an almana who slept with the Kohen Gadol, that's not as bad a thing. Right? It's hard, right? You imagine in your head this Kohen Gadol running after an almana, right, trying to rape her. Okay. So that's not as much of an embarrassment, and therefore you're not allowed to kill the rotif. Ne'evda ba'avera ein mitzilinot ha'benafsho. If the Nara Morasa had already slept with someone and was no longer a bitula, basically, and it's not her first instance with this, then again, the pgam is not so great because she's already nifgima. So the pgam of this ones is not going to be the same as if, right, she was the bitula. So therefore, emetzilino tabenafsha. Yesh la moshia, emetzilino tabenafsho. This means if someone can save her, then we don't kill him, right? What do? We just shoot him in the leg. Right, we try to stop him, neutralize him, but this is going to see, we're going to see that later, there's a different Tana who says this opinion. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, af ha-omeret hanichu lo shelo yahargena. Even a woman who says, just don't come near me because I'm worried he's going to kill me, right? This classic in the movie, the guy sticks the gun to the head and says, if you try to kill me, I'm going to kill her or him or whatever it might be. So if she says, leave it, I'd rather get raped so that he won't kill me, then it's okay. We're going to get to this and discuss it in a bit more detail soon, so I'm going to leave it for right now. Minahane mile, where do we learn all these halachot from? Amarka v'la na'ara lo ta'ase davar, ein l'na'ara chet mavet. So remember we said that ein l'na'ara chet mavet is unnecessary. And also, the way it's written in the pasuk, okay, the na'ara in both places is written without a hey. Okay, so they're going to darshan this. It's written chaser. It doesn't have a hey. So we're going to darshan like this. Na'ar, the way it's written, comes to include zezachur. That teaches you, right, like a na'ar. It's mishkav zachar. Na'ara, zo na'ara mu'asa. Okay, the fact that we read it as na'ara, right, teaches us na'ara mu'asa. Chet, elu chai ve'kritut. And mavet, elu chai ve'mitopetin. Okay, so those four words are going to be darshaned. Right, ein l'nara chet mavet, nar nara is going to be darshaned in two ways: the way it's written and the way it's pronounced. And chet and mavet are going to be teaching us each the chayve mitot and the chayve kritut. Kol hane lamali. So why do we need all of these? Di'ikaz avrachmana na'ar. What would you have thought? Maybe na'ar only mishkav zachar. Why mishum delav orche? Because it's something that's very atypical. Okay, and therefore, we're allowed to kill the rodent or neutralize him. Aval na'ara d'orcha emalo. But maybe you think the pgam for a na'ara, if somebody rapes her, well, you know, she's going to at some point in her life have that kind of relationship with someone, sort of, or, right, not exactly. It's a little hard to understand. But anyway, the it's done in a more typical manner. Therefore, you might have thought, again, don't worry, we don't do this, but therefore, emalo. V'katavachmana na'ara, Mishum de Kapagimla. You might have thought if you only have Na'ara, which is already Orche, then obviously Delav Orche of the Na'ar. But now they say no. But Na'ara has something unique about it, which is there's a Pgam associated with it. Whereas when it comes to Aval Na'ar, Delo Kapagimla, someone who was sodomized, it's not as much of a Pgam on him, right? First of all, he didn't lose his Betulim or anything. There's not such a stigma on him. And therefore, Emalo. And therefore, you need both of those. V'kata brachmanahane. So what if it just had na'ar na'ara? What would you have thought? Mishum dehai lav orchehu v'ha kapagimla. Aval shara arayot de'orchayu v'lo nafish pigmayu emalo. What might you have thought? Right, the other arayot were assuming they weren't betulim anymore, right? They weren't betulot. So they weren't necessarily virgins. It's just a certain relationship you're not allowed to do. So there's not a pagam, and it's done in a typical way of sexual relations. So you might have thought, if you just had na'ar na'ara, each one of those has a certain chumrah that doesn't appear in the regular arayot, and therefore you might have thought you wouldn't kill the rodeh, emalo, and therefore, emalo. Now they say, katav rachmanachet, katav rachmanachet, havamina afilu chayve lavim. So now, let's say we just had chet and not mavet. So chet would teach you, You would think chet would include maybe kritut and mito beitin. But now they say no, because then you would have think chet includes any kind of chet, which would include even chayve lavim. So therefore, which are not included in Din Rodef. So therefore, katar v'chamana mavet. That's why you needed also mavet. Okay, so we've gone through why you need nar, nara, you need both those, and you additionally need chet, because then we wouldn't know the arayot. Chet, though, couldn't include the arayot, because then it would include also chayve lavim, anything that's considered a chet. So therefore, we're going to say mavet also. So it has to be a chet that has mavet attached to it, and not just a lotase. V'i katav rachmana mavet, hava amina, what it just said, in lanara mavet. Okay? Hava amina chayve mito beitin in chayve kritu lo. You might have thought mavet would just include mito beitin, but not karet that we can administer. And therefore, katav rachmana chet. Okay? To include the kritu. The lichtav rachmana chet, so now the final last one. Lichtav rachmana chet mavet, v'lo bainar v'nara. Now they have a great question, which is chet and mavet by themselves would include what? Chayve kritu, chayve meto beitin. Now, anaram or asa and mishkav zachor are both included in the arayot that are chayve kritu and chayve meto beitin. So therefore, why wouldn't you just say chet mavet? So the Gemara says, inachinami. In fact, you're right. So we reject that nara and nara are coming to exclude, are coming to include the Naram Rasa and the Zachor. Chet Mavet covers all that. The Ela, so then what do you do with Nar Nara? Chad Lemeute Oved Ovedah Kochavim, Bechad Lemeute Behemah V'Shabbat. Okay, one is coming to exclude Oved Ovedah Kochavim, and the other is coming to exclude the Behemah and Shabbat. Okay, so now it's coming to say, right, these are coming, instead of including, they're coming to exclude. They're coming to say, Din Rogef is Nar, Nara, which means not Behema and Shabbat, and not Oved Avodah Kochavim. It's a bit of a strange thing. Usually each one would eliminate one thing, right? Exclude one thing. So how do we have Shabbat here as an additional thing? And the real reason is because Shabbat is really only an outgrowth of Oved Avodah Kochavim. We're going to see that in a minute. That the only reason you would have thought to include Shabbat was Oved Avodah Kochavim. So it's really just an extra. It's not. It doesn't really need its only mood to separate it out. Ula Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai ben Yochai de Amar Oved Avodah Kochavim nitan latzilo belefsho lamali. Now we're going to learn that even though we read until now Oved Avodah Kochavim lo nitan latzilo belefsho. Now we're going to learn and we wonder why they even put it in the Mishnah. Now here's our answer. They put it in the Mishnah because there was someone who disagreed. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai said that Oved Avodah Kochavim, if you see someone about to be Oved Avodah Kochavim, you're allowed to kill him before he's Oved the Isur, because again, you want to be Matzil Oto from doing such a severe Avera. So, now we're going to see. So according to him, what does he do with Nar, Nara, Lamali, Chal Lemeute Behema, V'chal Lemeute Shabbat. Now it's easy. We still had two more things left. So one behema, one Shabbat. Salkadat hachamina. Now, why do you need a separate limud to exclude Shabbat? Because you might have thought, Teite Shabbat michilu chilu me'avodat kochavim. You might have thought, Shabbat says, mechalaleha motu mat. And by Avodah Zarah, it says, velo techalalu et shem elokecha. So what might you have thought? That the chilu chilu would learn that whatever is true for avodat kochavim is also true about Shabbat. And therefore, you would have thought that if you can kill for Avodah Zarah, then you can kill for Shabbat also. And therefore, according to Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, you would need that drasha to teach you. Again, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai didn't say this. The Gemara is saying, well, that's how he would read this. We're putting words into his mouth. He would say, Chad Lemute Behema v'chad Lemute Shabbat. Now, right, if you think about Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai and now his son, Rabbi Elazar, okay, we're going to see, this is, Rabbi Elazar bar Rabbi Shimon. Okay, remember, these are the two that went into the cave, and when they came out of the cave, they were burning everything they saw. They had a very, very severe approach to life. And his son was even more than he was. So we see this really in this machloket, because what does he say? He says, someone who worships Avodah Zarah, we have to kill them, right? And comes his son, and he says, even someone who's mechalel Shabbat, okay? So the Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Damar, mechalel et ha-Shabbat, nitan latzilo b'nafsho, also we can kill him. Da'at yashabat michilu chilu me'avodat kochavim. He does learn that zera shava, and therefore says it's the same. So ma'ika lememar. So what do you need nara nara for? Chad mi'u lemi'u to behema. Okay, at least behema, they're all agreed upon. V'idach, what about the second one? He says, we don't really need to darshan that, because what's that? That's just the way the pasuk is read, right? It's not a separate word. It's na'ar, the way it's written, and na'ara is the way it's pronounced. You could say na'ara the way it's pronounced, adi katav rachmana na'ar, katav nami na'ara. In other words, it was written as na'ar, but we had to learn that it was pronounced as na'ara, otherwise it wouldn't make sense in the context. We're talking about a na'ara in this whole section. So basically, from there, we learn that, right, we don't even need to darshan the word na'ara. Okay, so just to review, what we've done is we've said that Na'ara Morsa is the classic, it's the case where the Torah teaches us Din Rodef, and from there, we're going to learn out to all the others, right? From there, we learn from a Hekesh to Rotzeach, and from there, we learned out to the Chayvei Mito Beit Din and the Chayvei Kritzut about all the other Arayot, and according to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, even Avodah Kochavim, and according to his son, even Shabbat. And according to the others, right, the pasuk comes by Na'ara Morsa to exclude. So remember, the pshat of this pasuk isn't talking about Rodef. But since we learn that the din of Rodef applies by Na'ara Morsa, we're going to use those pasukim as a springboard to learn where din Rodef is relevant for. Okay, the thing we didn't really explain yet is this shitav Rabbi Yehuda that was brought on that braita, which is Rabbi Yehuda Omer Af HaOmeret Hanichu Lo Shelo Yehargena. What's the root of their machloket? Amarava b'makpedet al pigma u'menichato shelo yehagena. It's talking about a woman who's still makpid about her pigma, meaning she doesn't want this blemish on her. However, if when push comes to shove, you know, she'd rather have her life. Okay, so she's saying she sees that this guy's about to kill her. Yeah, you know, or. Now, what's the assumption here? The assumption is, by the way, this is very similar to the Baba Machteret. The assumption is that if someone is coming to rape a woman, we're going to see this in a minute, or at least one of the assumptions, depending on, we're going to see Rabbi Yehuda's reading of it, is that here, well, maybe we'll read one more minute and then I'll explain. Rabbanan Savre, apigma kapi rachmana, v'hare makpedet al pigma. The rabbis disagree with Rabbi Yehuda and say, if she says, don't kill him, you're still allowed to kill him. Why? Or neutralize him. Why? Because the real issue about Na'ara Morsa, the reason why this din rodef, is to protect her from the blemish. The blemish, right, it's so interesting to think about, right? It's such a severe blemish, which the truth is nowadays, right, people look at rape as quite severe. It's such a severe blemish that we can do anything to prevent rape from happening. That's Ravana. So therefore, we don't care whether she says, you know, leave him, I'm worried he's going to kill me. We can do it anyway. But Rabbi Yehuda has a different approach to the whole thing. Rabbi Yehuda, Haideka Amar Rahmana Katle, the reason the Torah says we're allowed to kill him is Mishum Din Masra Nafsha L'Ktala. What does this mean? This is a little bit like the Baba Machteret. The assumption is that if he's going to rape her, the woman's going to fight back. And if she fights back, right, she's willing to be moser her nefesh to die so as not to get raped. Right? She'll fight with the rapist in order not to get raped, in which case he might actually kill her, in which case we have to kill him. However, in a case where she says, right, ha, in this case, lo masra nafsha l'ktala, she says, I'd rather get raped, right, leave him so that he doesn't kill me. In other words, let him do what he needs to do just so I don't get killed. So therefore, once she's shown that, then it's clear this isn't going to lead to murder. She's not going to get murdered, in which case we're not allowed to kill him in that case. Okay, we're only allowed to kill him as according. What's interesting about it, it goes back with that rape is a crime of violence, that there's a concern that rape will lead to death. Okay? And that's why, according to Rabbi Yehuda, we're allowed to that's why there's a din rodef here. Whereas when it comes to
rely on her judgment. Her judgment
is... it's not just her judgment. It's because she's obviously saying, I'm going to give in. I'm going to succumb to whatever he wants me to do because I'd rather that than get killed. The assumption is the only reason he's going to kill her is if she fights back.
That's a big assumption.
That's the assumption. Right. Look, we make assumptions all the time. That's what... Yes. Yes, it is a big assumption. But again, most rape cases, the rapist is now to kill her. Again, maybe if she fights against him, it will come to that. But generally, it happens to be. It does happen that people kill, you know, their rape victims, but it's less common. So I assume we would hold the same thing for, well, so then, right, because there's not a gum. So then maybe it would be, right, so it's not working. I assume he would hold the same across the board in all these cases. Okay? So,
in that case, would he be saving the perpetrator from, if you kill the perpetrator, you're saving him from doing something that would be even
more severe, right. Well, again, if you look in severity, actually to sleep with an Aram or Asa is more severe. He would get skila, where he only gets saif if he kills.
What about killing the perpetrator to prevent him from doing this again?
Right. So that's why, again, if we look at it, it goes back to the Bab Machter, where we viewed it both as a way of saving the person and
prevention.
So of punishment,
so
you know,
even
for
if
prevention
the
purposes.
Says, don't kill him, I'm going to succumb.
Yes.
Wouldn't you kill him anyway? Because who knows?
Because what he might do in the future. There's a little less discussion about serial rapists and serial killers. We're not necessarily so worried about what he's going to do in the future. Also, for that, we could then bring him to court. In other words, if there's witnesses, they can bring him to court and convict him in court for sleeping with an Aram or Asa, in which case he gets skila. So the question is, at that moment, what are you allowed to do? Because generally, we don't take the law into our own hands. So we're only allowed to take the law into our own hands, according to Rabbi Yehuda, if it's going to lead to death. According to the Chachamim, it's if it's going to lead to this huge pagam. We want to prevent this blemish from happening. So let's do whatever we can to prevent it. Whereas according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's not the blemish, because the blemish, let it happen. She's willing to do it. Right? Again, you could have understood Rabbi Yehuda not the way Rabbi did, which is maybe she doesn't care about the blemish.
She's a Nara.
How much could she know? How much could she understand? Yeah. Right. Well, she's, you know, she's of age. Remember, Nara is that window. But that, you know, whereas Rava comes along and says, obviously it's a case where she's makpedet al pigma, because if she's not makpedet al pigma, there's nothing to even talk about. Then for sure she doesn't care, and then in which case, you can't kill him. So
you say, you're going to kill him because of what he could do in the future, but now with this, a serial rapist or serial killer, you don't say what he would do in the future.
Again, look, if there's no witnesses, then we're stuck. But if there's witnesses, then we can take him to court, and the court will deal with him. But it could be, again, emoshiela, if there's no one coming to save her, then there might not be witnesses. But again, maybe there are witnesses, maybe they came to save her, and then they see that she says, listen, leave him. She's obviously telling someone, you know, let him do what he needs to do so he doesn't kill me. So maybe there are witnesses, and then they can bring him to court. This is a very strange case. We're going to see it also. There's other places where we say, kanayim pogim bo, that they're habuel arami kanayim pogim bo. There's certain cases where we allow people to take the law into their own hands. And again, it's how you view it. Is this all purely self-defense or protecting someone from getting killed or raped? Or is it also that we're punishing the person, in which case then we have Deb's perspective on, we have to look at what this person's going to do in the future. But it's not clear that that's what's going on here. It might just be that we're saving. And saving, we don't have the jurisdiction to decide what's this person going to do in the future.
Also, the punishment in the Torah, right, is that he has to marry her, ostensibly, right? That's a consequence
right.
of this. So
well, that's
like very, very
so that's not Nara Morasa. That's
not
rape.
Not Nara Morasa,
right.
Rape in general.
Right, but this isn't rape. This is Nara Morasa, right.
Also, Ben Torah Murray, the parents are making the presentation about what their son is going to do in the future. That's a little bit different
right.
from strangers.
Right, that's also true. Mm-hmm. The truth is it would be about rape also, because it would be the same gum by rape. Right, that's a good question. Why does it? Because in a minute we're going to talk about rape.
I have a question. So if one person sees him, this Nara being raped,
yeah.
That's not enough for...
Right, so then it's not enough for witnesses.
That's what I'm saying.
So that,
one person
but
sees
again,
it.
Does that? If you see something happening and there's no other witnesses, does that give you the right to take the law into your own hands and kill them? Who made you judge? Right? If you think someone's a danger to society, does that allow you? Again, that's the question. And what are you allowed to do and what are you not allowed to do as a citizen and not as a judge? Right? Maybe you're misreading the situation. Maybe you didn't question anybody. You know, how it's dangerous to allow people to take the law into their own hands in all sorts of situations. It's exactly what part of the struggle is here. Okay. Amar le Rav Papa Labaye. Amanah le Kohen Gadol nami kapagim la. But if the whole issue is pgam, then also in Amanah le Kohen Gadol there's a pgam involved. So what is the answer? Amar le, apigma rama kapi rachmana, apigma zuta lo kapi rachmana. There's major and minor, okay? And Amanah LeKohen Gadol, she's not a betula anymore. That's not as much of a pgam as the betula. Okay, we'll stop here for today. We'll start with the next section tomorrow.